I want to speak. I want to speak a familiar story, but I want to speak it into you prophetically today. I want you to understand that God knows everything. Sorry, my glasses fog up. He knows everything. I know that people are at a crossroads right now, and there's so many voices, so many voices. There's so many things that you could listen to. There's so many things you could speak out. But that's why we have to have the discipline of God's word. That's why we have to know that the battle is already won, that our God is before us and he comes after us, but he is with us all the way through the middle too. God is aware of all of our frailties and all of the temptations that we face, but he knows how we can strategically overcome every tactic of the enemy. And so we have to think everything through the bigger picture of God. I say this all the time, but when we're thinking of what is going on, we cannot look this way. We have to look this way. We have to be looking at the greatness of our God, the bigness of our God, the righteousness of our God, the goodness of our God. And we have to win the battle with the principles of God's word. This is not a day we just have to win the enemy to win a battle. This is a day that we have to stand firm to win a war every day. We are in a war every day. I hear it from everybody all the time. They're like, but it just comes one wave after the other, one thing after the other. And it's true, but we have promises. We have God on our side. He's never left us. He's never failed us. We have to go to the place where we know that in his word, we can increase our faith. And if there was ever a day that we needed to increase in our faith, it is this day for us that are alive in this portion of history. Many have gone before us. Many have faced many things. And they have held on to the truth of God and to the truth of his word. And they have seen the victory. Even when it doesn't look like a victory, he is our victor. It doesn't matter what circumstances are saying. It matters what the word of God is still proclaiming throughout the ages. And so we have to set our sights today on increasing our faith in whose we are and whom we serve and what he has already done. And so we know that Abraham is called the father of our faith. We know there's a reason why he is called that. And I want to go over some of these things with you today. I want you to turn to Genesis 12:2 with me. The first thing that we need to know is when God was speaking to Abram, he wasn't Abraham yet. He was speaking to the potential of a man that he had chosen. He knew what he was going to become, and he knows exactly what you're going to become. He is not looking at your frailties. He has a design for you. He has a purpose for you. And he doesn't look at your personal preferences. He looks at his personal preferences for you. And so he looks at you and he speaks to you. Our God is alive. His voice is real. His voice is resounding in the atmosphere to people that will listen for his voice today. We are his sheep. We hear him, and no other voice are we supposed to follow. And he showed up because he had in his plan, he always had men. He always had a person. He always had a way. He always wanted to show his covenant promises. He always set people aside so that he would meet them and talk to them and show them along the way, even through their frailties of who they were supposed to become and how many lives they were going to affect. How many lives are you supposed to affect? How many lives are commissioned upon us individually and corporately? What is God wanting to say to us? Because if we don't understand that there is a bigger picture and that we have to walk differently than everybody else, talk differently than everybody else, and act differently than everybody else, we will not fulfill the dreams of our God. Genesis 12:2 says, I will make you, Abram, a great nation, a nation. Right away, we have to understand that God is not just thinking about a personal promise for you. It is included, but he has given people promises for their nation, promise for the nations. He has called his people to be the answer to the nations. He has called us to be great among the people. He has called us to live among and above what is going on and to understand there is something higher. There is something bigger. There is people that are to be reached, and some will be reached one-on-one, and some will be reached by our voices as we cry out to our God and as we pray and as we are transformed by him on the inside. We will become the vessels that he will use on the outside. And so the promise was to Abraham for a great nation for the Israelites. But we've been grafted into that, people. We are grafted into this. And the United States of America is included in the Abrahamic covenant. And so is all the nations that you represent. Every nation is represented in the covenant of God because we've been grafted in. So God wants us to think big. He wants us to think about nations. And then he said to Abram, he brought it down to, and he said, I will bless you. You see, God is not just a workmaster. He's just not trying to tell us what we have to do. He also says, listen, in your inheritance, I'm going to give you the nations. But I want you to know, I'm not giving you the nations just so that you can help me get the nations. I am going to bless you as an individual. I am going to give you exactly what you need. I am going to build you up, and I am going to make your name great. The father of faith was going to impact all the nations with the favor of God, with an inheritance that is to be accessed by all believers. All believers. That includes you. That includes me. Abraham, and then he says, Abram, you're going to be a blessing. You see, the ultimate, the bigger picture of God is always that you are blessed. You're going to stay blessed. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to give you nations, but you're going to be a blessing. You're going to be able to bless others. You're going to have so much that you won't be able to contain it for yourself, but it's going to be spread all around. Spread all around so that others can be blessed. What are we believing God for today that is more than enough? What are we believing him for today that is going to give us so much that we have the ability to give to so many people that will change their life? And that means we can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. It means that we will give them substance. It means that we will be the answer to their cries. We will have the answers for them. We will have the finances for them. Our God's hand is not short. That he will not save and that he will not bless. We have to change our mindset today. Get out of believing the lies and get into believing the blessings of God.
Amen.
Amen. You will be a blessing. But then he doesn't stop there. He has a reward system. He has a reward system for even the people who notice there is something different about you. You better prepare yourself to be blessed. You better be understanding that God's positional inheritance for you is that people are going to come and they are going to bless you. And when they bless you, you will be a blessing. But also God said, if anybody takes the time to give a blessing to you, I am going to bless them. You can't stop God from being a blesser. You can't stop him from honoring those who honor what he has called them to do. And when somebody sees something or recognizes something inside of you and they bless you, guess what? The blessing comes back to them. God blesses, and then he blesses, and then he blesses, and then he blesses, and then he asks you to bless, and then he blesses those who bless you, because that is who our God is. And when are we going to have faith to believe what he said? When are we going to hold on to the truths of what God has promised us and take a hold of covenant blessings and declare it and decree it and partake of it? Amen. Hallelujah. I will bless those who bless you. But he said, I will curse those who curse you. He said, the enemy and all of the forces of evil. Now we're in a spiritual content today. He is not going to kill people. He is not into killing people today. He is dealing with people by the Spirit. But he said, I will curse the ones who curse you. He is taking care of the spiritual forces that are coming against his church today. And he is cursing them. He is going to take away their ability to hurt you. He is going to take away the enemy's ability. He is stopping the fiery darts of the enemy. When we come into agreement with our God, he is the force that comes and gives us what we need. Angels are coming. They are ready for the warfare. They are waiting for a church to arise. They are waiting for your voice to say, come and aid us. Come and fight the battle. Remember that he has all 2/3 of the angels still ready and to come to war on your behalf. Amen. It doesn't matter what the enemy has. He's the loser. He has already lost. Amen. And then he says, Papa Bear is on the throne. Papa God is on the throne. He goes, I'm going to take care of you. And in you, and in you, and in you, inside of you, inside of Abraham, inside of all of the inheritance of those that come after him, in you, all the families of the earth are going to be blessed. How is that possible? Because God is an impossible God. God is the God of the impossible. He will cause the blessing to come through us when we trust him. We believe, do you believe, that we are blessed by the blessing of Abraham? So if we believe it, we have national promises. That means that the United States of America, where we stand right now, is blessed if we trust God. The United States of America is still going to be blessed if we put our trust in God and not in man. Yes, we are putting our trust in the promises he has given us. It is a national promise. It is a national promise. People are prophesying doom and gloom over America. Well, I prophesy the blessing in the name of Jesus. I am operating under a covenant of God, and I release the blessing of God into this nation. And I say this land will be saved in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are operating under the Abraham's covenant, and that means we have personal promises. That means that we have the blessing of God. That means that our enemy has already lost before he has begun. That means that every believer that comes to the Father in faith is going to already know they are going forward with victory. They're not trying to get the victory. They have the victory. That's kingdom thinking. That's kingdom thinking. You see, we have a king. He's sitting on the throne. When you think like the king thinks, it's not logical. You have to get out of your own brain. It's not logical. It's also not tainted. It's pure. It's according to the word. And so God wants to show us who he is. And he's zeroing in on how he showed Abraham who he was going to become. And he keeps speaking to Abram. And he keeps telling him what he needs to do. Because here's what the truth is. Do you know that all of the promises that he gave Abraham is yours today? But did you know there were conditions?
This is what we don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. We want to just hear about what his provision is, what our inheritance is. But listen, God knows what is on the inside of you. He knows what needs to be adjusted right out of the gate when he begins talking to Abram. He starts dealing with what he knows is his Achilles heel. He knows where his frailty lies. And the first thing that he says to him is Genesis 12:1. The Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family. He goes, get out of your natural surroundings. Get away from the people that you're used to that come to your aid. Get out of the situations where you feel like you have to be their answer. Stop taking false responsibility. Let go of your past. Let go of your past so I can take you into your future. He said, from your family. You know who Lot was? Lot was his nephew. Lot was his family. Was he supposed to go without him? Yes. He was supposed to go, and that sounds so mean, doesn't it? We think of God and we go, how would God tell him to leave his nephew? No, no, no. Don't you understand? God was going to take care of Lot. God had a plan to secure Lot. If Abram would have listened, Lot wouldn't have been put in the situation he was put in later. God had his hand on Lot so that Lot could be blessed through the inheritance of Abram, but he did not want Abram to take him with him on the journey because he knew Lot would try to pull him out. He knew Lot would try to distract him. He knew Lot would cause chaos. He knew Lot that could not handle all of the situations that were going to arise. And so he was trying to rescue Abram before he even started out, and he still had a plan for Lot. Amen? Yes. Those that know God know that he holds your future. There's nothing wrong with what he's going to ask you to do. Anytime that he asks you to do anything, it's for your good and it's for the good of someone else. He is not a withholder. He's a giver. He failed. He failed. Abram failed to keep himself secure in God enough. This is where his faith had to grow. He thought that he could take better care of his family than God could. He thought he would take care of Lot better than God would. He thought that if he didn't take Lot, something bad would happen to Lot. But we know that something bad did happen to Lot. And one of the things that cost him was his wife. He takes his wife and his family into Sodom and Gomorrah, the area where the enemy had a stronghold, the place where there was something that was so strong in the atmosphere that they became confused. They became under a spirit of deception. They couldn't even think straight anymore. And Abram had to come and he had to rescue them because God said, I'm not going to put up with the sin anymore. I'm coming against your enemy, just like he promised us. And he said, I'm going to come with destruction and I'm going to destroy that which is destroying my people. And so Abram had to go and he had to get him out of there. And so Lot came, but his wife turned around and looked at the world's way and she turned into a pillar of salt. And I am telling you, we are at a crossroads today and we can't afford to be looking back. We need to be looking forward. We need to be going forward in God. And we need to be willing to let go of whatever he tells us to let go of because our God has ordered our steps. And though Abram had a problem with letting go of his family, God was going to fix that and God never changed his commitment to him. He never changed his covenant with him. He said, Abram, I'm going to teach you my ways. I'm going to show you how to overcome. I know you have this weakness, but we're going to get through this together. Hallelujah. So God says, all you need is a vision. All you need to go forward, Abram, I know what you need. You need to get your eyes off the natural. You need to get rid of false responsibility, but you need to take responsibility with me. You need to see who I am. You need to be secure in who I am, and I'm going to help you out. And so God shows up to him again, Genesis 13, 14. He says, lift up your eyes now from the place where you are. He said, I want you to quit looking at where you are. You better quit looking at where you are right now. You better stop looking at where you think you are right now. Because where we are transcends where we think we are in the natural. Where we are is sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus our Lord. Where we are, we already have the victory. And God is trying to expand our borders and expand the way we look at things. And he is saying, oh, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes and look at the place where you are. But you better look north and you better look south. And you better look to the east and you better look to the west. Because my picture is so grand. It is so big. It is so final. I want you to get it inside of your spirit, Abram. I want you to understand that what you're looking at is the land which I will give to you and to your descendants forever. Forever. He said, I want you to start seeing that as much, as far as you will allow me to take your view, as far as you will look with me, as far as you are looking through what I have said over you, as far as you will look at the promises that I have given you, that is what I will give to you and to your descendants forever and forever. Amen. He's saying, you better get the big picture. You better get the big picture, Abram. I got a bigger picture than you're dreaming right now. I got a bigger picture you have to become a part of. I got something that's not going to just include you. It's going to include your family. It's going to include your family's family and your family's family, 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 descendants until we're right here, right now, still taking, partaking of Abrahamic covenant blessings. Oh, yes, it included us. Hallelujah. Whew. Verse 16, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if any man could number the dust of the earth, I can't even number the dust on the top of my TV set. I mean, so he said, if you could number the dust of your earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. He's saying, look at the impossible and understand that you'll never understand. Understand that this is so big. It is so vast. It goes beyond everything that you could even imagine. It goes beyond what your natural mind can contain. But it's just as real as if you could see it right now. It's still going to go. It's still going to be real. It's still going to have power. I'm empowering you. I'm giving you a promise about your descendants. And it's going to happen because I am God. Whew. The promise of the seeds of the righteous, they're always going to multiply, and they're always going to multiply blessings. God's kingdom thinking is being spread out for us in these words. If we will trust our God and we will take him at heart, if we will move with what he is saying, if we are opening our eyes and we're seeing how vast of our promises is and how long that they last, they are everlasting to everlasting and they are innumerable. And you think you have a problem. Well, your problem is in the master's hand. He is on the scene. He has placed himself before us. He's predetermined the end. And the end is this. The church of the living God is going to arise as the empowered church, understanding who they are and who they belong to and what they have been given. He is opening up our eyes to see his plan for the church, us, to be blessed with an inheritance, and our inheritance has been decided very long ago. And with the Spirit leading us, we are able to face every circumstance and pass every test and walk in all the blessings. He's revealing us to the big picture that he has in mind, and he is trying to get us to resolve our own predispositions of our mind. We got to get over ourselves. We got to get over our fear. We got to get past our limiting God. We have to get over to the place where we are so desperate that we are counting on God to be our intervention. And when we get to the place of desperation, and I believe that we are, I have heard of people, they're coming up with prayer strategies. We're doing prayer strategies in our church. We're listening, we're praying, we're fasting, we're doing what is necessary. And people are being called all over the earth to do the same. We are not alone in this. There is a church that is arising in the truth of God, and they are desperate. And I am not happy about all the stuff that's going on, but I am very happy that the church is desperate. I am very happy that we understand that our help comes from the Lord, that we are not going to do this in our own strength. I am very happy that God has settled things ahead of time, and he has the victory predetermined for those who know who they are in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Every part of our human heart that is not settled and yielded to God is being prodded and poked so that we could choose him all along the way. Everything that you, every lot that you have in your land, every lot that you have in your family, everything that you are taking false responsibility for, God is saying, quit thinking you are the answer. Know that I am the answer, and I'll be the answer through you, but you don't get to hold on to your root issues. You don't get to hold on to the things that are holding you back. You don't get to hold on to putting your trust in someone else or putting your trust in your confidence and your ability. Oh no, it's time for you to understand that I am revealing every hidden thing that is keeping you from walking in the totality of the blessing that I have pre-planned for you. Every part of our human heart, everything that is inside of us, God knows it. And he let us get our foundation ready by the word of God. He's like, go back to my word. Go back to my word. Go back to the promises. Go back to what I promised you. We have to walk by faith. And how are we going to do it? Galatians 3:7 says this. You have to know this. Therefore, know. Therefore, you know, therefore, you better know that only those that are of faith are sons of Abraham. We want the blessings of Abraham, but we can't access our own inheritance if we don't have faith. We can't get out of our own way if we don't do it by faith. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles, hallelujah, I'm included, you're included, we're all included. You understand? All the nations by faith, they're justified by faith. Preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you, all the nations shall be blessed, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, all the nations. We prayed over the nations since we began this church. We believe that the blessing is on all the nations because of us, because of our prayers, and because of our faith. And the next scripture proves it. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. When Abram turned to Abraham, he became a believer, not a doubter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he has instructions for him to follow, and he has instructions for us to follow today. Genesis 13, 17a. The first thing he says is so big that I just have to say it right there. And stop right there. There is a covenant provision for you. The vision is being made clear, but there's a need for us to engage. There's a need for the body of Christ to engage. And the first thing we have to do is arise. Hallelujah. It is not a time for us to sit down. It is a time for us to get up. Get up. I don't care what the newscast is saying. I don't care what they say. Go hide in your home. You better be, if you're hiding in your home, you better be up running around inside that home. And you better be arising in the Spirit. And you better be doing what the Spirit of God is telling you to do. And you better be declaring. And you better be decreeing. And you better be in your word. And you better get some faith up in there so that you overcome by the word of your testimony of who he is. Hallelujah. Arise means to abide, to be intensive. I am intentional and I am very intense right now. It means to accomplish. It means to continue. It means to decree. It means to endure. It means get up. Get up, body of Christ. He said, it means to make good. One word in the word of God has all of these meanings because God takes time to make sure that we know what he's really saying. Arise, stir up, strengthen, succeed. He said, I'm giving you the answer. I'm telling you, Abram, this is your promises. This is your covenant promises. This is your inheritance, but you better do this. You better get up. You better arise. You better grab a hold of something. You better lift up something. You better rise up again and again and again. And you better stand up and stir up and strengthen everything around you until you succeed. Until you succeed. God did not make us failures. Bulletin, you are a winner. He said, arise. And then he said this. He said, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I will give it to you. Where are you walking? What kind of walk are you walking? Are you walking a spirit walk? Or are you walking a natural walk? Are you walking by the eyes of the Spirit? Are you looking and gazing at the things that God has told you? Where is your vision board? Where are those things that you've been asking God for? What are you believing that is bigger than yourself? Because if you're only believing for what you know you can do, you haven't even tapped into faith yet. Faith is looking for something that you can't see, that you can't obtain by yourself. But it's by looking into what God said you can have, and you make yourself a part of it. You better get up. You better walk through the land. You better go through the places that God said. He's opening up doors that you can walk through. He's going to do things for you. He is going to make a way for you. That's what he said. I'm even going to make a place, streams in the desert. He said, you better get up. You better walk. You better take a walk with me, Abram. You better take a walk with me and see what I can do. You better put your feet on what you're believing me for. You better stand on what I said I would give you. You cannot back up now, but you got to go forward with the Spirit of God. Whew. They're vast. They're huge. You better go take a walk. A walk with the Spirit, because that, the Bible says, that those who walk in the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You can't call yourself a son and daughter of God. You can't inherit all the promises. They're yours. But you have to do something in order to obtain it. If you're just sitting still, if you're just listening to the news, if you're just letting circumstances happen to you, guess what? They're going to happen to you. But if you stand and you arise and you walk and you take a spirit walk, then he has given you that land. Don't cave in, because when you don't cave in, the enemy runs out. You and me and you, zero ability to the enemy. Ooh, hallelujah. The church is rising. The church is arising now. I decree it and I declare it. The church is walking by faith. The church is getting themselves positioned because they understand we've been commissioned. We understand that we're appointed. We understand that we're anointed. We understand that God has a plan. He has already provided for us. It may seem like it's too late, but it's not too late. It's never too late with God. It is never too late with God. Whew. Not when you know God is Almighty God. Oh, is he Almighty God? Oh, yes, he has a name called Almighty God. He is Adonai, Almighty God. He is ours. He belongs to us, and we belong to him. It looked like it was over for Abram. Okay, he's like, listen, I'm going to have to negotiate with you, God. I give up on what you said. I'm just going to have to give you my servant, and you can bring this kid through his servant. And God goes, get what? He goes, no. Genesis 17:1. When Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. God is proclaiming to him, and he tells him to walk, and he tells him to do what? To be perfect. I think that I remember a verse that says that God is coming after a church that is perfect, without spot or wrinkle. I believe that he is talking to believers today, and he is saying, oh, I don't care if it looks like you're old. I don't care if it looks like everything is lost. I don't care if things look dead that were promised to you. I'm telling you right now, I am Almighty God, and you're going to walk before me, and church, you're about ready to rise up, and you're going to be the church without spot or wrinkle, because that's what I'm working on right now. Hallelujah. Be perfect. Be full of integrity. Be full of truth. Be without blemish. Be without spot. That's what it means. Be whole. Be whole. I believe God is working on us. He's saying, listen, Abram, you're a forerunner of what the church and the bride is supposed to be like. And I'm in covenant with you. And I'm enabling you. And I have blessed you. And I have empowered you. And I am commanding you to walk complete and perfect without spot. And I will make my covenant with you, Abram, to prove it to everybody else in the future. And you will multiply exceedingly. Oh, glory to God. We're not just going to multiply. We are going to multiply exceedingly. You better be agreeing with God today. You better get in alignment with him today. You better understand that he has already predispositioned you to multiply exceedingly. Whoa. Exceedingly means, my favorite, louder and louder. Utterly, very much, it will be well with you. These are not just words to Abram. This was an experience of covenant truth. And Abram, when God is saying this to him, he's experiencing something. Abram is hearing these words, but Abram is going to be changed in this moment. In this moment when God is releasing his covenant and he is telling him about how he's going to multiply, and he's going to multiply him exceedingly, it says that Abram fell on his face. And I looked up what it meant. And it means he died right there. It means fell means he died. Because when you come in contact with the truth of God and his covenant promises to you, even when you know your failures, even when you know God should have given up on you, even when you know your faith has failed you, here he is. He's not trusting God. And yet God says, I am going to come and I'm going to bless you and multiply you exceedingly. And when he hears it, he doesn't just hear it. He absorbs it. He feels it. And the only thing he could do is fall down and die. Die to himself. Die to holding on to the past. Die to holding on to the natural. Die to trying to do things his way. Die to trying to hold on to that which he thinks he needs to hold on to. Oh no, Abram has a death right here. Abram is dead to himself. He falls on his face and he begins to praise and he begins to honor God for who he is. He finally knows the God that is more than enough. He finally knows that this is the God that's going to provide exceedingly abundantly above all that Abram could even think of or ask. He is getting a revelation of who he is, and in the revelation, he will not be denied again. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, church. Where are we in this? Where are we in this story? Where are we in this story? Until you become consumed with God's vastness and his love towards you. He was unable to let go of what he needed to let go of. He kept making excuses. He kept lying to people about who his wife was. He was trying to operate in the natural to bring forth that which is supernatural. But in this moment of falling on his face, in this moment of dying to himself, he is positioned to do the impossible. And that is what we are at right now. We are at that place where we better get the understanding of who our God is, where we need to re-engage and let our faith rise. And we better fall on our face and die a little bit. Die to everything that we are depending on except for God. And when we see him in all of his glory, and when we see his kindness, and when we see his goodness, and we partake of his promises, oh, they become real to us. And we fall down and we say, whatever, whatever you want from me, I give it to you. I'm dying to everything else I put my trust in. I can't trust in myself. I can't trust in anything else. But I am in reverence of you that in all of my frailties, you show up and you tell me who I am and you tell me what you're going to be, and I am speechless before my God. Oh my God. He's consumed with God's vastness. In this moment where he fell on his face, he himself was positioned to do the impossible. God says, oh yeah. It's a moment I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for you to receive who I am. I've been waiting for you to embrace me for all the promises that I've given you, to take and partake of the covenant that I have. And then he puts him to his test. He says, all right, now you're going to prove it. And some of you are in that proving stage right now. God's saying, I want you to give something up. I want you to let go of the past. I want you to move forward into the unknown. I want you to go into a place where you can only see by the eyes of the Spirit. I want you to walk around the land by faith. I want you to look at those things that are not as though they are. I want you to not depend on anything else but me. And I want you to prove that I am your all in all. And he says, okay, Abraham. It's going to be a time and it's going to be a season where I'm going to use you. This is where I'm going to use you to show people in the future, to all of the descendants. I'm going to show them how you're going to change the game right here. You're going to show them what they have to do so that they too can become partakers of the inheritance. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take Isaac. I want you to take the promise. I want you to take the very thing that you love the most. I want to see if you love it more than you love me. I want to see if your son comes before me or if you're going to trust me with your son, because you didn't trust me with Lot. But now I want you to show that when you died that day, when you fell on your face before me, when you understood who I was, then you understood also what I would do. And if you really trust me, you can do this, because I will never ask you for anything to take away. I will only ask you for something that will multiply you exceedingly. Oh, we look at this story wrong. We are not seeing it through kingdom principles. This applies to us. We are those descendants. He says, I want you to take your son, whom you love. Take the thing that you love. Take the family member you can't live without. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. He's going even into the unknown, taking his son that he loves. He's going to a mountain, he doesn't even know which mountain. But Abraham gets up. He gets up early in the morning and he saddles his donkey. And he takes two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood, ready to offer to God a burnt offering. And he arose. And he went to the place which God had told him. And on the third day, that's another sermon. Abraham, the father of many nations, says, he lifts up his eyes and he sees the place that he's going. Now he's seeing what he has to do and he's seeing where he has to do it. And he's like, okay. And he speaks to his young men. And this is what he says. Stay here with the donkey. Because the lad and I said the lad and I, will come and we'll go and worship and we will come back to you. Now, Abraham knows what God is asking him to do. Abraham knows that he must offer up his son, just like he knew that God wanted him to leave Lot behind. But this time he has a different mindset, you see, because he has come to know his God, and he has come to know his empowerment, and he has come to know him as a God that keeps his promises. He has come to know that there is descendants that are bigger than all of the dust in all of the earth that are going to come after him, and he knows that his son Isaac is the seed that is sown, and he's like, if he has to raise him up from the dead, he will raise him up from the dead. But one thing I know, I will not withhold that which I love to the lover of my soul. There is nothing and no one that can keep me from knowing who my God is. And if he said he is going to multiply me exceedingly, then he will multiply me exceedingly. And it will come through the seed that he said it will come from. And all you people that have given up on your seed, you better get back in alignment with God and know that he is true concerning his promises to you and to your family and to those that are far off. Amen. The same will happen to you as an individual. When you come face to face with God's goodness, oh Lord, and his promises, and they become yours, then you become his. That is so real to me right here. That is so real. Our problem, church, is that we haven't come before him to know him. We haven't spent the time seeking him or hearing his voice and letting his goodness and his mercy and his promises become a part of our very being. We keep receiving it and throwing it down. We keep receiving it and then showing God what the circumstances say. We keep receiving it and then turn on the news. We keep receiving it and then hating our brother. We keep receiving it and speaking out lies. We keep receiving it and then letting it go and letting it go and letting it go. And letting it go is causing us to lose our inheritance. But there is a church and there is a remnant and there is a people that are willing to say, I don't care what you ask me for, God, because I know you. And I know the power of your love because I've been with you. Because I've been in your presence and I am absolutely convinced of what you promised. I have an inheritance and I will not lose my inheritance. I have an inheritance and my eyes are fixed on you. And if you say to do this, then I trust in you that you will cause something to happen that will bring back my son from the dead. It says so in Hebrews 11. Genesis 17:3. God talked to him saying, I love how God keeps talking, don't you? He just keeps talking to me. He just doesn't leave me alone. He doesn't leave me in whatever kind of pity party might be available that day. He doesn't leave me in wondering if my inheritance is sure. He just keeps talking. He just keeps assuring. He just keeps telling you who you are. He just keeps promising what he said is true. And that's what he's doing with Abram. And he says, God talked with him and saying, for you, behold, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations, many nations, many nations. I don't know how many nations God has inside of you, but you have nations on the inside of you if you belong to God. Whew. No longer shall your name be called Abram, which means father. But your name shall be Abraham, because that means father of many nations. We're about ready for a name change here. We're about ready for the body of Christ to have a name change. They're going to be overcomers. They're going to do exploits. They're going to do greater things than Jesus did even while he was on the earth. This is who God has called us to be. There is something that is coming, that is brewing on the inside, that people of prayer are beginning to understand who their God is, and they are willing to face down whatever they have to face down because they know that their God is on their side and he has called them by his name. Hallelujah. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. Do you know that we have kings in our midst? Do you know that the person sitting beside you, the person that you're looking at next to you on the couch, the person that is with you, you know that there are kings that are arising in the midst of this nonsense. There are people that have been established by God in every sect of society to arise and take their positional authority. Come on, we got to arise as the people of God and know there are kings among us, and we are a part of being the priests and kings before our God. Hallelujah. And he said, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you, to be God to you, and to be God to your descendants after you. And so I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, all the land of the promise, all the land that's flowing with milk and honey, all of that for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. God is not done with his church. God is not done with your heart. God is not done with your future. God is not done with his promises concerning you, concerning the church and the part that you have to play. But here's what we have to do. We have to understand our responsibility. He has laid this out before us in this story, and we have to know who we are and what we need to do. And the very first thing we have to know is that you have to have your own relationship with God. It has to be you and him and you. Then you have to be willing to leave what God asked you to leave and entrust it to him. What are you willing to trust to God? You better figure it out, and it better be everything. We have to go into the unknown. We have to leave wherever we are right now. I don't care how good you are. I don't care what you already believe. I don't care what kind of a good Christian you are. I don't care how many things you've already done in the name of the Lord. That's awesome. I'm happy. But I don't care. And God doesn't care, because he doesn't want you to live in yesterday. He wants you to live in today, and he wants you to live in tomorrow. He wants you to get the big picture on the inside of yourself. He wants to get the big picture that and apply it to who you are. He wants you to arise right now. He doesn't want you to arise 10 years ago. That's great. You have a great testimony. Well, what testimony do you have today? And what testimony are you going to have tomorrow? And are you walking by faith, or are you walking in your own moaning and groaning and complaining? Are you taking part of the promises in your inheritance? Are you just in the mully grubs? Oh man, that's an old word. That's your fault. The molly grubs. We have to walk by faith and stand upon the promised inheritance of our God. Oh, we have an inheritance, and it's promised to us. Okay. Wow. Galatians 3 says that those who are of faith, I read it to you before, are blessed by believing Abraham. We who are of faith are blessed by believing Abraham. Abraham finally got to the place that he was believing God. And by his by his story and what he was able to do, oh my goodness, he was making a way. He was mirroring Jesus on the cross. He was mirroring the great sacrifice that was going to be paid to take care of all of our weaknesses, to take care of all of our sins, to take care of all of our diseases. He was mirroring it. But when he was willing to give up his son Isaac, God stayed his hand and he provided a sacrifice. And God is staying the enemy from you. He is stopping you from doing the impossible. And God is coming and saying, look, if you will offer to me what I ask of you today, I am going to intersect and I am going to take that which you're willing to offer me and I'm going to secure that which you are going to offer to me and I am going to send my son to take care of it. And in that moment, as he offered up Isaac, he said, my father will see to it. He knew him as Jehovah Jireh, his provider, his father that was going to see to it. And that's what we have to be today. We have to be the church that says, oh, I don't care. I am going to obey his voice. I'm going to come into agreement with my God. And when I come into agreement with my God, I come into agreement with the victory that has already been won on my behalf, on your behalf. The church is beginning to rise. The church is beginning to have faith again. The church is beginning to see that all of the nonsense is just that. It's just nonsense. All of the trials, they're just trials. All of the testing, they're just tests. Just pass them. Just pass them. Just get with God. Just let him speak to you. Just fall on your face and die before him. All of your expectations, all of your things that you're holding on to that you think are so grand. He is grand. He is great. He is our promise. He is the lover of our soul. And he's made a way for you to live in exceptional, exceedingly great, multiplied blessings. That's who we serve. And that's what we get to be partakers of. So, it always drove me a little bit crazy. They always said, you have the blessings of Abraham. I go, well, what is that? They couldn't tell me. I don't know why they couldn't tell me. It's written. So I'm just going to end with this. Declaration. Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. That if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country, and blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and all your belongings, and all of your bank accounts, and all of the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will you be when you come in, and blessed will you be when you go out. And the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face, and they shall come out against you one way, but they will flee before you seven ways. And the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouse and in all to which you have set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. And the Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and you walk in his ways, then all the people of the earth shall see, and they will know that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Hallelujah. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground. And in the land that the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give you, they're going to give it to you. The Lord will open to you up his good treasure in the heavens to give the rain on your land in its season and to bless all the works of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. And you shall be above only and not be beneath. And if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you are careful to observe them, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, not to the right, not to the left. Don't go after any other gods to serve them. Oh, hallelujah. You shall be blessed. You shall be a covenant partaker. You are going to be the above, not the beneath. You are going to be the one that has more than enough, because that is the commissioning and the inheritance of the church of the living God. And all the nations of the Lord will be blessed when the body of Christ comes into agreement. Amen. Hallelujah. You have to understand, lack on any level is the enemy. Lack on any level is coming from the enemy. We're not created by God to struggle. We are created by God to have abundance in Him first. In Him first. And then he gives us the provision to not only succeed, but that we can be a blessing to our brothers. Hallelujah.